Well, I was not going to introduce Dorian because I thought he needs no introduction, but then there are a few of you that have come along since Dorian was here. Dorian and Sherry served with this church some years ago in the preaching minister capacity. Dorian was here for several years. He can give you the exact dates on that, I suppose, but his heart has been in Africa, and he's still been working with getting wells dug over there in this congregation, and some other congregations around here have been very supportive of that. So we knew he was coming for the chili cook-off, asked him to speak for us this morning. I'm sure he will share some things about what's going on there. So if you wanted to know who this guy is with the weird accent, now you know. Dorian?
Well, my heart is filled with joy for the privilege to be able to speak to a part of God's great family. And filled with joy because I want to share with you where we have come, where we're going, and then to just at the end challenge you in a spiritual way. This past year, we were blessed to hear of and witness 478 baptized into Christ. Everything that I say, you're a part of this because you make this happen. You put a well down and all kinds of avenues open to share the good news of Jesus Christ. We have planted 52 churches in 6 years. We begin our seventh year. And I want you to know how God works things out. Sherry and I couldn't have done this 10, 20 years ago. But we have an army of people not only here, but in Africa that I knew when I was a preteen, and we've all come together and God has made this happen. And we're so glad the way that the kingdom is spreading. We have spiritually helping and nurturing equipment. We have 25 leadership seminars because if you're planting 52 churches, then you better have some serious leadership seminars, both men and women. Look at that ratio. 771 attends the men's lectureship in Zimbabwe and 2,800 women. The ratio is about the same in Africa as in the United States, isn't it? But I mean, we got more people coming to those lectureships than ever before. It's just great. We have our youth program. We had over 1,200 attend our youth encampment. Just amazing, those young people. That's me at my old high school. Public high school, 900 boys. We got to speak to them because we ship textbooks into the schools that you are a part of. And now we have over 1,700 high school students studying the Bible. It is just amazing. North Street family has been supportive, and we had Debbie and Kim come at the beginning, and that was one of the wells that you all drilled they got to see. And then we did a follow-up on a World Bible School student. Kim's father called him from Lubbock, Abilene, knowing that he was coming and said, listen, we've got this World Bible student. Can you follow up on him? And we did. And he was immersed into Christ. And that was great. And Kim dodged a bullet and he was able to get back to Texas. Marty came, and I appreciate what Marty done and the great encouragement he gives Sherry and I, him and Julie both, and was feeding some of the orphans that we feed. The man in the middle is Harold, and he is from Huntsville, Alabama. And he told me he isn't coming unless Marty comes, because they went to Swaziland together, and he just really loved it. So they came, and that's one of the young guys that we work with, takes care of our Partners for Africa Center. And then we had Colton, and we had Kristen, and we had Emily come from Texas A&M, Aggies for Christ. And they had to get that flag up, and so I show it to them. But how wonderful. Colton is such a wonderful young man, and he led that team. He put it together. And on the ground, they just did everything that was asked of them and more. And this was one young lady that was immersed while they were there. And so thankful. We began an inner city soccer camp while they were there, and they participated in it. You can see, look at that soccer field. They also taught them the Word of God, had devotionals. Can I just share this with you? You got clean water? Do you have a bathroom? How's your electricity? You know, you got a roof over your head? Is there any food on your table? Have a full set of clothes, you know, pair of shoes? Got regular income? Did you get to school? You know, are you generally healthy? You know, people that we work with, especially in the rural areas, you know, if they've got 3 out of 10, that's good. That's fair. And if they have 4 out of 10, that's good. We are truly, truly blessed. And yet what I love about America is that in our abundance, we still give. We give out of our abundance, but we're givers. And that is amazing. So we have the Mom Project, and we feed the hundreds. in Zimbabwe, Swaziland, and South Africa. That plate of food, still 50 cents, okay? Meat, starch, two vegetables, a fruit. Those ladies there, the reason I got their picture up is for 4 years now, they have fed 200 children every week. We don't pay them anything. Everything that's given to our good works, it goes to our good works. There's no overhead, I mean, none whatsoever. They do it because they see that as the ministry of their work, and we are so thankful. The only thing that they get is that they praise God, and they'll get a plate of food. We're collecting 10,000 pairs of shoes. We started collecting 10,000 pairs of shoes last August. We've already got 8,500 pairs. So there's so many children that go barefoot, so all those that we feed and help, we want to give them a good pair of shoes. The ACT project that you're a part of, I want you to know that little girl right there, she's got all the, we've got all these banana boxes that you've helped fill so many times, you know. So mother pulls up one box, and there's the clothes, you know, that she has for her little girl. And so they're heading back into the bush, and she says, put it back in the box. And the little girl says, no way. No way, but she's holding on to that. But thank you for the clothes that you have shared. I just want to share this with you. That's one of the wells that you did, but that has an engine on it because it pumps up water to this beautiful tank that was built, this reservoir, and it carries water down to the fields in order to offset our price as far as feeding. We grow vegetables, and there's our sweet potatoes, and there's our sugar beans. So this is all drip irrigation, by the way. And there's our tomatoes, young tomato plants at that time. And this is an Israeli irrigation system. It works so well. And look how you like our carrots, eh? Isn't that great? No fertilizer, just use the land. 39 wells. We wouldn't even be anywhere close if it wasn't for the chili sup and what North Street have done. And I want to thank you. We're about to drill our 40th, and we said, wouldn't it be wonderful to have 50 wells in 10 years? We are just beginning this month our 7th year, and I am so thankful for you all so much, man. It provides that wonderful water, physical water, but it gives us avenues to share living water. We're thankful. As when we drill a well, we will build a concrete tank there, you know, and they'll use it for all kinds of things. But one of the things will be used for to immerse people into Jesus, and that's what's about to happen on that picture. So I've got to share with you this well. This is a well that you did. We took Colton there. We took the McMorries there. I think we might have taken others there as well. But I just want you to know these people were so thankful that they gave us two gifts. They gave us a live chicken and a live goat. And somebody said, "Oh, Dorian, what do you do with that? You just put it in the van and all the way home." But the chicken is delicious, by the way. It was delicious. The goat, we're about to open a clinic, and the goat is now being fattened. He's living in... what can I say? Utter ignorance. Because he's going to be, it's coming. But when we were there, the reason I bring this up, when we were there, the government leaders came to us and said, listen, we have no, 20,000 people in this area, we have no medical whatsoever. There is nothing. We've got to walk miles. And I said, I think the Churches of Christ can build you a clinic. I've never done that before, but I know that within our fellowship we can make that happen. So they gave us this land. And I want you to know, the villagers came out and they cleared that whole field. This is a year ago, October. They cleared that field. No chainsaws. Oh, they cleared it with a pick, an axe, a machete, and a spade. That's it. The trees, the stumps, everything. We had about almost 100 villagers come out and take care of that field. So we drilled. We couldn't have drilled that if it wasn't for chili supper last year. And I want you to know how God blessed us. This is for the clinic. We hit three rivers. 27 meters, 36 meters, and 54 meters. Just amazing. That well cost a lot because we have a submersible pump, we've got a generator, and then we've got a tank and a stand there. And I want you to know, with that, we built a clinic. The only power source that we had from now on, what I'm going to show you, is gravity and elbow grease. They haven't heard of Black & Decker. They put the fence around. Here comes the concrete truck. How do you unload that? With a shoulder, don't you know that? How do you dig your foundation? You do it with a pick and axe. And you know that cement mixer called a wheelbarrow? That's how you fill it. How you make your concrete blocks? You have forms, and then you bake them in the sun. And the only part of the clinic that is wood is the trusses. And there was the clinic, I think, when Kim and Debbie and Marty and them all came. That's where it was. And then when Colton and them came, it was just about finished. But there's Colton and other young people painting that. They did a great job. And they lived on a goat for 3 days. because the goat was alive the first day they got there, and then the goat was hanging up on the water stand the next day. And then they cooked a little bit of it, and they just ate. And as far as I know, they all came back, and they're fine, you know. God took care of them. The maternity is on the left. Maternity is on the left. Infections, broken bones, and all that is on the right. And I want you to know, we open up this clinic 3 weeks from Saturday, from this past Saturday. Isn't that wonderful? That's the nurses' quarters. We've got two nurses' quarters. Those are the guys that did it, and I am so thankful for them so much. So what happens next? So I'm thanking North Street. What are you thanking North Street for? I'm thanking you for this. You had a missions day, and you divided that money up, and you gave some to Partners for Africa. But what had happened previous to you doing this is we stood at that clinic, and the government leaders told us they'd never known of any NGO or nonprofit organization that had built anything so fast. And so I stood there and I said, you know, I visited your elementary school, but you don't have a high school. They said, no, it's 16 miles away, and we can't let our children walk through the bush. It's so unsafe. And I said, I think the Churches of Christ could build you a Christian high school. I said, but you gave us 2.25 acres for the land, for the clinic. I said, we're going to have at least 20 acres. I said at least 20 acres, thinking I was being big and bold. Well, I want you to know, next to the clinic, they measured off 70 acres. And so we're going to, Lord willing, and I might not be part of all of it, but this is a 10-year project that I have, and I'm praying the prayer of Hezekiah right now. We want to build a Christian high school. We want to build a trade school, and we want to build a Bible college. And it'll provide an amazing hub for us. You know how the Lord takes care of things? While all this is happening, he sent a young man from Africa, from Zimbabwe, in Kosilati and Pofu. He went to Fried Hardman University. In 2 years, he became student body president. I've told you that. He graduated with his BA. He's now been given a full ride by the university for two master's degrees in education and ministry. In 3 years, who's coming back to be the principal? Him and a young lady that he's met that has already fallen in love with Zimbabwe. And I do their wedding in Pueblo, Colorado in May. And with other young adults in Africa, in mainly Zimbabwe, they're going to head up this Christian school because this is going to be truly African. We might want young American couples to come and teach for a year or so, but it's going to be African from the start because we have a young, educated, upward mobile group of young people there. And we are so thankful for it. And I'm thankful for you making all this happen. This year, Rogelin and Curtis is coming. And we look forward to them being with us, and we want you, different ones, to continue to come and be with us. So it's Acts chapter 12, and there is Herod. He's feeling really good because he got James, the brother of John, had him killed, and he's so happy that he grabs hold of Peter, throws him into prison, trial the next day. Really? No, God says no, because an angel comes into the cell. He is tied by chains. He has two soldiers. There are two sentries. And the Bible says that he struck him on the shoulder, talking about the angel, struck him. Didn't just bump his shoulder, didn't just push it, struck him. And I thought to myself, you know what struck me? Yes, this guy, Peter, a child of the living God, committed his life to God. So why should I be shocked that he is sound asleep in a prison where the angel has to strike him to wake him up? And he still thinks he's dreaming, and the chains are released, you know, and past the soldiers and past the sentry, and the big gate opens automatically. I guess the angel had the remote. And so he heads to Rhoda's house. Now you skip over to Acts 16, and there's a similar story. It's Paul and Silas. And Paul and Silas are in prison. And the Bible says the same thing. Chains are released. Gates are open. Doors are, you know. Why don't they run? Just go. Just like. They don't. Because God wants them to come in contact and connect with the jailer and his family. Now, I just want to say something right here. Jailer did not care for him at all. Not from the outset. Because they're sitting in prison there. And a jailer doesn't go down there and release them from the stocks. And he doesn't go down there and take care of their wounds. He's got no time for them. His mindset is, all these guys claim they're innocent. Why are they any different? As far as I'm concerned, they're all guilty. And besides, the whole community said they were guilty. They already had a court, because it was a kangaroo court. I mean, all they were doing, Paul and Silas, was sharing the good news of Jesus Christ, and they truly were innocent. I wonder one day how you would feel. Well, let me just pose a scenario to you. Someone has hurt you, and now you have been given the opportunity to share the gospel with them. Will you? Two things they found out at midnight. They found out that these guys, number one, loved God because there was prayer and praise. And the second thing they found out was they loved the jailer. Because you see, they were thrown into prison and he continued the injustice and the suffering. Even though they released this woman who had been following him around for days. She is filled with this demon and they released her from it. And these guys that were using her, they were so mad. They had the kangaroo court and they threw him in jail. And now there's this earthquake and everything is open now. And all the prisoners can just go. And Paul and Silas say, that's good riddance to you, buddy. Because he knew he only had two options. He could either take his own life or the Romans would take his life. Best I take my own life. And they said, no, they didn't say that, did they? They said, we are all here. We are all here. There is none righteous, no, not one. Romans 3:10. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Colossians 1:21 says, this includes you who were once far away from God. You were his enemies, separated from him by your evil thoughts and actions. In other words, we, every one of us, deserved hell or deserve hell. But for John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave us his only begotten son. Why should we forgive others? Oh, I could go down a list of things why we should forgive others. Because it's a really rotten way to live. It'll destroy you mentally, physically, emotionally if you don't forgive. Or maybe because you'll need forgiveness in the future and so I will. But just one reason. Because God has forgiven you and me. Listen to Galatians 3:13. Take allowance for each other's faults. Forgive anyone who offends you. Remember the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. So I was in Hopkinsville, Kentucky, about 60 miles north of Nashville, and I'm sitting at the Little River Church of Christ, and there's Elizabeth Morris sitting in the back, and I go there every year because they also help us, and every year I am pumped up to live this Christian life of forgiveness and extending forgiveness and receiving God's forgiveness because of her. Years ago, many years ago, in fact, her and her husband were on Phil Donahue's show after all this happened, you know, years ago. Their son had come home from Lipscomb for Christmas. He'd got a job at the mall there, Pennyrail Mall. He's heading home one night, and this young man who was already had his license taken away for DUI, who was driving drunk at the time, crossed the median and ran right into their one and only child. And the phone rang and said, get to Nashville as fast as you can. And when they got there, he had already taken his last breath. Elizabeth Morris says, as time went on and the court case, you know, it all began. And she said, I'm driving in the courthouse parking lot one day. And she said, there he is walking up the steps. And in my mind, I'm saying, run him over. And then she said, what am I thinking? Me who claims to be a child of God. Her and her husband, Frank, resolved right then they were going to meet that boy. They were going to help that boy. And so a few weeks ago, I'm sitting there and I'm looking at Elizabeth Morris. And next to her is Tommy Piggage, the young man that killed their son with his wife, who they taught the gospel to and brought to Jesus and brought him home when he got out of prison and helped him get on his way. Well, how about this story before I sit down? October the 6th, 2007. It's in one-room Amish schoolhouse. And the man's name is Frank. The man's name is Carl Roberts. Carl Roberts. And he goes into the schoolhouse. What is amazing about it, about going to the schoolhouse, is he knows all those kids. And he says to them, all you boys get out of here, and all of you parents get out of here, and the girls stay there, 10 girls. He says, my wife gave birth to a baby girl and she died 20 minutes later. And I'm sorry, girls, but I'm going to take it out on you. They knew him. He picked up the milk from him, man. He was the truck driver. Marion said, would you shoot me first, trying to defend the other girls? Oh, he shot all 10 and then shot himself, and Rose Marie died in the arms of a state trooper as they got in. But listen to the words of a grandfather whose granddaughter died that day. He said, "We must not think evil of this man. He had a mother, and he had a wife, and he had a soul, and now he is standing before a just God." And Jack Meyer, a member of the Brethren community, he said, and I quote, "I don't think there is anybody here that wants to do anything but forgive, and not only reach out to those who have suffered a loss in that way, but to reach out to the family of the man who committed these acts." And boy, did they live up to it. You know, they wrote a book and they split the proceeds. The Amish community split the proceeds between them and this guy's family. When Paul and Silas looked at that jailer in his weakened position, it wasn't "you're going to get your comeuppance." It was, "because we are children of God, we extend love to you." Welcomely, openly, enthusiastically, I receive the love and the grace and the forgiveness of God. We all do. But may we all extend that to those around us. You know, we might be limited in a lot of things that we can do to share the gospel of Jesus Christ, but when you have a chance to forgive, what an impact. What an impact we make. The great forgiver, won't you come to him as we stand and sing?